The U.S. Supreme Court just made it harder to get away with insider trading. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In a unanimous decision, the U.S. Supreme Court has brought new clarity to what is insider trading. Marketplace's Andy Euler is here live. Andy, what do we learn here?
Well, it's actually the first time the courts ruled on the matter in almost 20 years on insider trading. And it essentially said nothing valuable or tangible has to change hands to prove a crime was committed. Yesterday's case upheld the conviction of a Chicago man, Bassam Salman, who admitted that he got information from his brother-in-law who worked at Citigroup, and that Mr. Salman made more than $1.5 million from that confidential information that he received. Now, the defendant was arguing that because there wasn't any compensation for the tip, he shouldn't be prosecuted. But what Justice Samuel Alito wrote for the court yesterday was that giving this information is the same as trading by the person who has the information, the person with the tip, who then gives the proceeds as a gift. And Alito's ruling also said that prosecutors have to prove that the tipper directly or indirectly gained something from giving away that information.
Directly or indirectly gained. Mm-hmm. So prosecutors see this ruling as a win for their side, but this seems so specific. Members of the same family, gifts.
That's right. Because this was a tip shared by brothers, the court actually didn't address an arguably more difficult question about trading among casual friends or people who work in the same industry in a boardroom, something like that. In fact, Justice Alito noted that it's more difficult to prosecute traders who are several steps removed from the source of the information. That's a reference to a different case that was hoping to crack down on insider trading in the hedge fund industry, but it ultimately failed.
All right. Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you. It has now fallen to me to persuade you to listen to a story slugged Euribor. You may have heard of that crucial interest rate known as LIBOR. Well, there's also a Euribor interest rate. Three of the world's largest banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, HSBC, and Credit Agricole, have now been fined more than $500 million for rigging this Euribor rate. The BBC's Philip Hampshire filed this for us from London.
The fines bring to a close a five-year-long investigation which most other banks involved in had already chosen to settle. The European Commission said the three banks colluded on euro interest rate derivative pricing elements and exchange-sensitive information. At just over $360 million, JP Morgan received the lion's share of the fine. Euribor is the shorthand name for the euro interbank offered rate. It gauges banks' estimated costs of borrowing over different periods of time and is used as a benchmark to calculate interest payments for trillions of euros worth of financial products, including mortgages.
Philip Hampshire with the BBC in London. If technology can soon do just about everything, how will we human beings earn a living? Some in Silicon Valley and beyond are wrestling with this. One approach is what's called a universal basic income. Everybody might get a monthly check from the government. Believe it or not, there's interest about this on both the left and the right in versions of it. A group of tech investors are launching a pilot program in Oakland, California to test this idea. Sarah Gardner reports on why that city, in the news this week for the terrible warehouse tragedy, is also a good place to experiment.
Here in Oakland, the signs of tech money are everywhere. Uber is renovating the old Sears building downtown for its new headquarters. Millennials play bocce ball and drink cocktails along the redeveloped wharf. One-bedroom apartments rent for $2,400 a month. Longtime resident John Jones III sees it this way.
Uber has come to town. Someone's going to get six figures, but then somebody got to clean the toilet. That's the reality of employment in a city like Oakland.
Jones counsels young people here, many formerly incarcerated like himself. He's a proud East Oaklander, and he brings me to the Eastmont Town Center to make a point.
This mall symbolizes decay. It symbolizes neglect. It symbolizes crushed, destroyed dreams.
The sprawling complex was originally a Chevy plant that brought middle-class jobs to East Oakland, then a shopping mall.
This was the place to come.
But Jones says the mall emptied out as Oakland's manufacturing base disappeared. Over the decades, auto plants, canneries, and snack food factories closed, as did the Oakland Army base.
So when the military bases closed, that really shut off our access to living wage jobs.
Nowadays, the Eastmont Mall houses social service agencies and a police station.
The only real viable opportunities here in the Bay Area is the high-skilled, high-paying tech sector. However, there isn't a real pipeline for folks who live in communities like East Oakland and West Oakland to go work for Google or Apple.
At the West Oakland Job Resource Center, Joyce Guy tries to place residents in construction and warehouse jobs, but the warehouses are increasingly automated and the jobs unsteady.
More often than not, they will tell a person, you go in there, you work hard, this company's going to hire you permanently, when that is the furthest from the truth.
But even amidst Oakland's job insecurity, not everyone is convinced that giving everyone a monthly government stipend, a basic income, is the answer. Jennifer Lynn is with the East Bay Alliance for a Sustainable Economy.
We should also be talking about full-time work and continuing to raise the wage, reinforcing renter protections.
Lynn says the question is, could technology wealth somehow work to benefit everyone here? Or will it end up simply creating another playground for the technorati? In Oakland, California, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Sarah's Universal Basic Income series is accumulating at marketplace.org if you want to know more about the concept. And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.